Well, ho, 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 everybody. It is your favorite time of the week. It is another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel, and we try to make sense of them. I am Les Kirkendall Barrett. Hello, Jason Powers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers.
We are here. The holidays have started. We are in full swing. Like I like to say, this is basically our tax season, because both Lifetime and Hallmark are showing Christmas movies up the ass. Every time you turn around, you can't swing a dead cat without seeing a Christmas movie.
I would love for their on-air branding ones. You know, they always have like a slogan for the season in terms of like promoting that they're doing all these holiday movies. I want them one year to just be like, Christmas coming out the ass.
Right?
And then like Santa like farts the logo of whatever network it is. Zeus TV.
Right. Zeus.
Right. There could be a visual of like tinsel being pulled out of an ass. It'll really catch on.
So are you guys
I should work in marketing.
So how is your Christmas season so far, you guys?
I've done very little shopping except for myself.
Right.
Not in that
moment. I know. Me too, actually.
I don't know.
I was going to do Christmas shopping on Cyber Monday, and I ended up just buying stuff for myself.
I have to get stuff. My mom likes to get, like my parents like to get gifts for us, but she can't really, my mom can't really like walk around that much so much. So right. she wants to give me some money so I go out and I'll get my own presents. And then
wrap them
up and bring them back to the house, and I'll open up the presents. Like I'll say, "Oh, look what I got!"
Like so now, do you have to do like a surprised face? Like, "Oh my god!"
I think we haven't done this before, so it's interesting. But I was concerned about her walking around a lot. So I'll get what I want and wrap it up, and then I'll say, "Okay, so it'll be nice."
So Kurt, what do you think your mom got you for Christmas this year? Or will be getting.
I don't know. I need a rug, like a nice floor rug.
An area rug.
Right. So I might like an area rug. Yeah,
I was looking at some of those on Wayfair the other day, not a sponsor, but it should be. And they had some really good deals going on there.
Right.
It's called Wayflower?
Wayfair.com.
Wayfair. Okay.
And I'm sure your mom knows the exact rug that you want. It's like she's a mind reader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somehow she knows.
It's like the perfect size for your apartment. It goes with your color scheme, and it's your taste.
Right.
Measure things, I was going to reveal who I worked with today. I was going to say, because I worked today as a stand-in.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
A stand-in, which for those you don't know, that's – the people at home know what a stand-in is. It's so they're making a movie or TV show, and so as the cameras get set up and all that, like the main actors, they don't stand around for all that. Instead, the stand-in goes in.
The stand-in is mainly for lighting, correct?
Yeah, for lighting and the camera placement and all that stuff. Yeah. And so,
can you tell us?
I can. Okay, so Steven Spinella, do you know who this guy is?
No.
He was in he won a Tony for Angels in America.
Okay.
Oh.
And I think 1993. So he does he's a famous
That's
actor.
Cool.
And I said to him "Hey, I'm your stand-in." He said, "Well, good job." So that was good.
Well, that's cool.
I was a stand-in once for B.D. Wong, if you know who that is.
Really?
Yeah. It was one day. Yeah, I worked on the movie Executive Decision back in the 90s. I actually got my SAG card in that movie because I was one of the passengers in the plane. You can totally see me on camera.
Really?
And then like
We need that. We need to see an image of that.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Literally the final day of shooting – of filming. I gotta stop using that word shooting. I don't like that. But the final day of filming, we had driven out to, I think it was like Mojave Desert, and we were shooting because it was after the plane lands or whatever. C- crash lands, and his stand-in, who had been there the entire movie, couldn't go out there, and since I was there, they, and so you get paid a much higher rate, too, so.
Oh, that's, yeah, you do, because I did stand and work once. Yeah, you get paid really good. Mm-hmm. That's like a great rate.
Yeah, Kurt, you could buy your mom a room. Yeah,
I could be, I could buy what? Her? Yeah, maybe I will. Well, I, this is, you know, it's, it is Christmas money. I was at Ethan Hawke's stand-in once.
Really?
Oh, nice.
That was cool. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, my God, and, get this.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. No, go ahead. Go, sorry.
Oh, no, there's an actor who recently passed away, Renee. What's his name?
Rene Auberjonois.
Yeah, I was his stand-in once also.
For Deep Space Nine?
No, he was on Madam Secretary once as a guest star.
So not on Benson. He was on the show Benson.
Benson? Yeah. No.
What was his name? Before Clayton? My time. I used to watch Benson back in the day. Yeah. I think his character's name was Clayton.
I did too.
That's what it was.
Benson Dubois.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. That's the right name from. Yeah.
Because, you know, the theme song was. I used to love that show.
Do you remember what show that was a spinoff of?
Soap.
Yes. But very different in tone.
And then he went on, Robert Guillaume then went on to be the Phantom in the Phantom of the Opera for many years.
Really?
Yes. Here in L.A. Here in L.A., yeah.
Really? Okay, I didn't know that.
He was in the show Sports Night as well.
Yes.
Sports Night, yeah.
Well, anyway, you guys, so I get this message from a friend of mine today. And he has invited me. I'm looking. I've put you guys a little smaller so I could look at my message so I could get the information right. I have been invited to an immersive play, an immersive experience called Welcome to Meadowlark Farms. And it's based on the Hallmark Channel.
Wait, what? How so?
Yeah. Let me see. So let me...
Do tell.
This is the message I got from my friend. Hey, Les, I was wondering if you would like to be my guest to an immersive experience called Welcome to Meadowlark Farms, a Very Merry Cookie Contest. The aim is to create the vibe of a Hallmark Christmas movie with the whole thing revolving around a cookie baking contest. And so... And then he put, I thought since you have a podcast and your podcast is about Hallmark, that they would love your feedback since you are an expert on the subject.
I feel like so, we should do a live broadcast.
So on December 19th, and I'm going to actually give them a plug since I am going. Mm-hmm. So on December 19th at the Greenway Court Theater in West Hollywood, I will be going to see this, and I think it's going to be like an ongoing thing.
Where in West Hollywood is it? The what theater?
Greenway Court. It's in West Hollywood. It's on Melrose.
Oh, okay.
Melrose in Fairfax.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I've done a show there before. I know exactly where it is.
I totally know where it is.
It's right next to Fairfax Heights.
I know where it is too. Okay.
So I will have a full report next week.
Hmm.
That's amazing.
That's exciting.
And I do love that, like, I'm a Hallmark expert.
You're the guest of honor.
I have noticed it's that time of year because everyone knows that Hallmark does the holiday movies. They'll be talking about them just in conversation, and then it comes up that I do the podcast with you guys. And I chime in like I know everything about these movies now.
Right.
So yeah, we're like the – we are – the academics of Hallmark at this point.
Yeah, who knew?
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I wonder, like, for this, for example, I wonder if I'm basically like a consultant, you know?
Well,
because
if they're paying you, then yes.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
Well, it sounds like you got a free ticket.
I got a free ticket. So, you know, and if there's baking involved and there's like cookies and stuff, I'm good for like some cookies.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well,
Oh wait, so are you baking cookies? Or are you is that
No, I'm going. I'm going as an audience like to watch it, and I guess my opinion will be asked of what I think.
Okay.
So
sounds good to me.
Anyway, you guys, does anybody have any news?
All right, just yesterday reported in Us Weekly, Blac Chyna on her really good co-parenting bond with exes Rob Kardashian and Tyga.
Tyga.
Okay, looks like Tyga to me. All right, co-parenting is, she says, Blac Chyna says, co-parenting is actually really good. I'm definitely grateful for both my baby fathers and whatnot. Chyna, 31, told Us Weekly exclusively on Thursday, December 5th, they do give me that break so I can rejuvenate myself as a woman and just get back focus. Or if I have to do something, it just gives me that leeway. So that's, I think, key. The real Blac Chyna star shares son King Cairo, 7, with Tyga, 30, and daughter Dream Renee, 3, with Kardashian, 32. Chyna told Us that her relationships with the Keeping Up with the Kardashians alum and the faded rapper have absolutely improved. She also noted that they are both good fathers.
Okay.
So that's good.
That was shady, yes. Though. A faded rapper? That was very shady.
Well, it's in quotes, but maybe that's like an album. It says, and it's in quotes, and there's a capital F.
So faded. He might like have a so song or an album called Faded.
Yeah, maybe. There's a song called Faded.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I want to know is how she rejuvenates herself as a woman.
Let me see if that's here too. It is a long article. I just wanted to get straight to the point. Yeah, I don't know if she rejuvenates as a woman. That might be something in the future.
The thing I'm stuck on is, or do I want to know?
We can find out.
People, you said there's People magazine. Do.
This is Us Weekly.
Oh, Us Weekly. I like Us Weekly's. You know, so like when you're writing. Journalism has different styles, and some styles they may, when they refer back to the same person, they'll use the last name. Some it's a little more conversational, they use the first name. Some they'll call it Mr. or Ms. or whatever. I like that Us Weekly used last names and decided that Blac Chyna's last name would just be Chyna.
Chyna, that's her last name. Chyna, yeah. Yeah, it's the way it's written, it just put too many words and numbers in my mouth. That whole Blac Chyna star shares son King Cairo 7 with Tyga 30. I'm confused.
Tyga.
It's very. Tyga. Oh, Tyga. Tyga. I'm never going to. It looks like Tyga to me.
But
it's spelled with a Y. T-Y-G-A, isn't it?
Tyga.
Well, Tyga. There's got to be one.
Let's not spell that one out.
A Y. And it's a,
and then, because there's two Tygas.
Not an I.
Because isn't there, there's regular Tyga, and then isn't there Tyga dollar sign?
And no, that's Ty dollar right. Sign.
Ty dollar sign.
Tyga. My reading comprehension really gets very low when it comes to Blac Chyna.
Well, okay, so speaking of Blac Chyna.
Oh, do you have news?
Yes,
another
I do.
Wave of news?
And now. It's time for another Blac Chyna report. Here's less crooked out there.
This is Blac Chyna's mom.
Tokyo.
Oh, that's different. That's different.
Okay. All right, because so I got this from a great source, the Wendy Williams Show. That because all good news comes from the Wendy Williams Show. Wendy Williams is a reliable source. Mm-hmm. Tokyo Toni is pissed.
Yeah.
Tokyo Toni is very – and do you know why she's pissed?
Well, you sent me the clip.
No.
Yeah, I sent the clip to Jason. Tokyo Toni is pissed because Zeus TV has not paid her for her TV show yet.
Did you send me this clip? I saw this too.
Yes.
You saw this.
Yeah.
Tokyo Toni has not been paid, and she is very upset.
Well, the past 2 weeks, you two have been plugging Zeus TV on the side to get money from them, so they're not going to pay you. I hope you realize that.
They're not going to pay us?
We'll see about that.
Because Tokyo Toni was mad.
Yeah.
And she said she busts her ass for that station. She busts her ass, and she works hard, and she has not been paid. But at the end of her rant on the Wendy Williams showed a clip of her rant. At the end of her rant, she did say, "But watch my daughter's show, Black China."
Yeah, I think that was just a way to get free press once again for this network that nobody's ever heard of.
Right. No, except us. We talk about it every week.
Well, yeah, we're fascinated, but have any of us actually sought it out to watch?
No.
Never.
Which maybe one week we should go, instead of a Hallmark or Lifetime movie, we should see what kind of programming's on there and do a review of one of those.
Now, and to be fair,
Wendy
Williams is also trying to figure out, she doesn't know how to get Zeus TV either.
Yeah. We're all trying to figure this out. It's fascinating. It's like Netflix. It's like the opposite Netflix. You know what it is? It's like Netflix and the black web.
I guess.
That's what it is.
Or something.
Although it's not. We could just look it up.
Poor Tokyo Toni. Uh-huh. She just wants to get paid.
Yeah.
I don't think she's going to get much from Zeus TV.
No, I don't think so either. This is not a good sign,
I need to buy that bottle of wine. Where's that Zeus TV money?
Right. Right, seriously. But okay, I have like all sorts of news from this was like a very festive, news-filled week.
Okay.
So another story that I heard. So when I was at Thanksgiving dinner, one of my friend Jason Padilla, who Jason's a good friend of mine, and we normally talk about Days of Our Lives because he watches Days of Our Lives just as much as I do, but instead of talking about Days of Our Lives, he started talking about like Christmas movies and Hallmark movies. And he asked me, he's like, "Well, you know about that movie that in Canada it was about a girl and it was two gay dads, but in the US it was a heterosexual couple, right?" And I'm like, "No." It turns out that there was this movie from 2004. It was called A Very Cool Christmas. And I know that I wasn't familiar with anybody in the movie except for George Hamilton. Mm-hmm. George Hamilton. And so for whatever reason, in the Canadian market, which was the original market, it was two dads, right? But I guess they felt that Americans couldn't handle it. Because here in the States, it was the exact same movie, but instead of two dads, it was a mom and a dad. And so the thing that's kind of funny is that the Hallmark Channel last week gave a statement saying that they would be open to making a gay-themed movie. So it's kind of funny that this bit of information came out right around the time that Hallmark just – and they didn't say that they were definitely going to make a gay movie. They said that they'd be open to it.
Yeah.
Which, okay.
And so then I read that there was also – I guess there was a commercial shown on the Hallmark Channel that showed a lesbian kiss.
Yeah.
It was
–
Really?
Yeah.
It was for Zola.
I didn't see this.
And the internet Zola. Had a meltdown.
Yes.
Wait, where's it? Did you send me a link to this?
Yeah,
in the news
yeah
today,
I did.
Actually.
I'm looking for it right now.
And so the internet lost there's this group of assholes called the 1 Million Moms.
Which is a Facebook group of like four people.
Yeah, which I'm calling them assholes because they're basically – because they're bigots pretty much. And so they basically mm-hmm. – You know, if it, you know, they're anti-gay, they're homophobes, they're bigots, and they can come at me if they want. but they like there was a commercial that showed a lesbian kiss, and they like lost their minds.
because, you know.
I got it up right now.
Yeah.
This is from The Advocate. Yeah. Hallmark Channel ad with lesbian kiss sends 1 million moms spiraling.
But the thing is that I feel like we are giving the moms, that group, we're giving them free press because
that
group is not very big. I don't know if you remember back a few years ago, this is probably like 5-6 years ago, Ellen became the spokesperson for JCPenney and one of their many like trying to like turn the store around. And it was a huge campaign and millions of moms, that group formed to boycott it. And it only actually brought positive attention to the store. More people started going there.
Right.
So they're not influential at all.
Well, then all I have to say is, million moms, you can kiss my ass 1 million times.
That's what I'm saying, though, is it's not even worth getting angry.
Yeah.
They don't have an impact.
No.
Oh, see, I love it.
I saw articles about them.
But I do love it, though, when bigots, like, lose their shit and go out of their minds because it's like, do you realize how stupid you're being right now? You know? Like, do you realize how dumb you're being?
This says that group, the conservative group, has recently called for boycotts of Whole Foods for hosting a drag queen story hour, Mattel for its gender-inclusive doll line, Toy Story 4 for including a lesbian scene. I missed that.
Wait,
and
Arthur
for its
Toy Story?
Depiction. This is what says Toy Story 4 had a lesbian scene. We meant to end the podcast early and to go see Toy Story 4.
I'm on board. End right there.
I wonder if it's between like the Barbie with no head and
think
the
it's
cowgirl.
Well, this is the thing is I feel like I heard about this and I feel like maybe one of the kids in the movie, it was like their parents just happened to be moms, or you see it really briefly. Like, I don't think it was like they stopped the movie and all of a sudden there's lesbians kissing.
Right.
Oh,
jeez. These moms
that's
are
worse than the scene. That's worse than the scene in Toy Story 3 where all the toys are basically going into like a furnace.
Right, they're going to get burned up.
Which is the most horrifying thing I've ever seen on film. I like broke into tears and horror watching a kid's movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, and Arthur for its depiction of a cartoon rat as gay. So they were also angry about that.
Oh, jeez. Jeez. Whatever.
Yeah. That movie with Dudley Moore had that. It's crazy.
1 million moms. Okay. Get a life. Get lives.
We've been talking a lot. Maybe we should get into the movie now.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Are
okay.
You supposed to leave early?
Oh, that's true. Okay. Yeah, I better get going. So, okay. So the movie that we are talking about this week is on the Lifetime channel, and it is called Mistletoe and Menorah. Mistletoe and Menorahs. Okay. So we start out, and we are in Chicago.
Oh, how did you know that? Because I didn't know where this was set.
Oh, actually, because the footage that they used, because I was just in Chicago last month, and they used, like, real footage. So it was definitely Chicago.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah, the exteriors, yeah. Like, I noticed that bridge and some of the buildings.
And the bean. And, they showed the bean.
Yeah.
Which I love Chicago. Chicago is one of my favorite cities, and I go to Chicago every chance I get. So, like, I literally go to Chicago probably like 4 or 5 times a year. So that was definitely Chicago. Because I love deep dish pizza. So we see Chicago. It's Christmas time. There's decorations everywhere, and this woman wakes up, and in the first 5 minutes, I wrote, I can tell this woman is very annoying. And she's like,
wow.
What about her from that moment made you say
that
to yourself?
Like she had a red clock, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be a problem. And she literally woke up, and she was just like, oh, my God. Like, she, like, was just on 10.
She loves Christmas.
Right. And she has like this little sort of display thing, right?
It's an little advent calendar.
Oh, right. What?
It's an advent.
An advent calendar.
Yeah, it was a really. Yeah. Do you know what an advent calendar is, Kurt?
I do.
It's a thing. Okay, so it was a really fancy one. It was like made out of wood. It was very large for an advent calendar. And each, instead of like a little door, everything had a little drawer with a candy in it.
Right.
Right.
And so so then we see her. She's on the phone. She's talking to her friend, which turns out to actually be like her assistant. And the friend has a kid in the car. And so she's driving, and so they're talking, and her friend is asking her, do you think it would be okay if I hit on my kid's teacher? So I like the friend already.
Yeah. She points out that the teacher, her son's name is Alex, the teacher is cute. Right before that, though, when the woman woke up, as she got up, she said, David Berger isn't going to know what hit him.
Right.
That David Berger name will be important information in a few minutes.
Okay. So then we find out, like, she – the reason why she's so hyper is because she literally had four cups of coffee.
Yeah, four coffees. Yeah. That's
and
crazy.
And wasn't done.
Wait, so you thought she was annoying while she was sleeping, though?
Oh, she's really annoying.
No. I can't drink that much coffee anymore. Coffee's a diuretic.
Yeah. Well, she was skinny.
Is that L. Ron Hubbard book? No, you have to be careful. It's like, you drink too much coffee, you're peeing all the time. That's why she's skinny.
Yeah, okay. She's very skinny.
Not just peeing.
So we find out that she works for a toy company. And so...
Wait till we get to the toy she invents.
Oh, I know, right?
Well, the one in the middle, at least. Okay.
So she works for a toy company. We find out she has this big presentation, but her friend her friend wasn't her assistant. Her friend was the assistant to the president of the company. So what I liked about her friend is her friend would always give her intel. So her friend told her basically, like, the boss loves her. She's got nothing to worry about. And so Christy's like in charge of this presentation, and she's doing the presentation, and the guy who she's doing the presentation for likes her. Like, he's actually impressed with her, right? And so he invites her to come and do a pitch at his holiday party on Christmas Eve. And he really liked her, on the verge of it almost looked like he was hitting on her. Like, that's what I thought. Like, it almost looked like
it. It did look a little bit like that. Yeah.
I didn't think so. What's that, Jason?
It did look a little bit like that because he had sort of like a glint in his eye.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And he was like, come to my party. I'm inviting a few people over.
Come to my holiday party.
And just, yeah, the way he put it out there, it was kind of like, huh. And then I'm like,
Brush up on your tradition.
Because then I'm thinking, it's a Christmas movie, but it is Lifetime.
I was kind of excited. Well, I wrote, because he said brush up on your tradition, I wrote, where's this leading? This is new territory. So I don't know what was going through my head. Maybe I felt the same way.
So then she called.
See her dorky boyfriend.
It was ugly. Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's just so dorky seeing someone on a rowing machine. It's like, you douchebag.
Well, they wanted us to think he was a douche.
Right.
They wanted us to not feel bad. Because I actually thought he was kind of cute. Like, not hot, but like, he was kind of cute. But, you know, they were making him out to be kind of a jackass.
Right. And so then they're talking, and so then, get this, surprise, surprise, she goes out to get more coffee. And then she's at,
it's
like,
a diuretic,
coffee,
calm down, lady.
And then she's one of these people who I hate.
Uh-oh.
Like, at Starbucks. Oh my god.
Right.
Do you guys like go to Coffee Bean or Starbucks, or do you guys go out for coffee?
Yeah.
That person who I just want to punch in the face because they're giving
I want to get a recording of this woman's order. of her ordering this coffee.
Oh, I should have gotten a soundbite of it.
Like, she's, oh, and she's ordering her, and you can tell, like, they're ordering, they're being annoying about, like, the temperature and stuff. Like, the poor barista looks like they want to punch him in the face, and then I want to punch him in the face, because not only is their order annoying me, I'm feeling sorry for the barista, because I got to put up with that shit, too. And all I want is my blonde roast drip. Yeah. So she's one of those. And so then she's talking, I think she's talking to her buddy, to her friend, and we find out that her name is Christy, and Christy loves Christmas.
She says, and I quote, "I'm a Christmas boss, the mayor of Christmas Town."
Right. And her name is Christy. And she's telling this to her friend. And so she's telling her friend that. She's telling her friend about the party, like the whole party and her whole presentation. And then the friend says, "You didn't know? The boss is, he's Jewish." Like, it was some, it was some foreign concept.
This was my problem with this movie, is the way they treated the, learning about Judaism and learning about, like, Christian Christmas traditions, or just general Christmas. They were treated like things that nobody would have heard of unless you've celebrated the holiday. It's like, they literally, like, she doesn't know what a menorah is. Are you kidding me? And also, his name is David Berger. How did you not know he was Jewish?
And especially since she lives in Chicago.
Yeah.
She lives in Chicago.
Exactly. They were in a major city.
Now, okay, so full disclosure.
Okay, go ahead. You didn't know what a menorah was either?
No, opposite. My brother-in-law is Jewish. My brother-in-law is Jewish. My sister converted. I have a niece who's a rabbi. All the kids were bar mitzvahed, bat mitzvahed. Mm-hmm. But when my sister first married my brother-in-law, like, I wasn't familiar with Judaism, but this was basic stuff that the stuff that they were, like, flipping out about was just basics that everybody knows.
So this is your brother-in-law or sister-in-law?
My brother-in-law.
So if your brother-in-law were to invite you over to a party, a holiday party, would you feel, oh my gosh, I need to learn all about the traditions of the holiday we're celebrating? Or would you just go because it's a party and nobody's expecting you to be versed in their religion?
No, I would say it's a party. No one's expecting anything, and I bet the food's going to be great.
Yeah, you just go with the flow. You don't have to worry about all this stuff. I wrote, oh no, she got invited to a Hanukkah party. It's a horror movie.
Yeah.
That's what it seems. That's the way they were acting in this movie.
That's the way they were
acting. You have your latkes, and because I didn't know all these tradition stuff. I found it kind of interesting.
Oh no, but, I learned,
you know, I go to Jewish people's homes and have for, like, traditional stuff or different kind of people of different cultures, and I blend in very well. I learn what's going on.
Yeah, there were definitely things in this movie I didn't know before I saw it, but I also didn't go into the movie thinking, I'm watching a movie about Jewish people, I better brush up on tradition first.
Right. And then
that's true. So you better brush up.
Right. So then she's talking. So then, like, since she's invited to this party, she's, like, flipping out, and she's like, I don't know about Hanukkah. And I wrote, why don't you either Google it or go on YouTube, you idiot?
And again, you live in a major city. You can't tell me that there isn't a part of that city that is very heavily populated by Jewish people that probably have like actual delis and bakeries and things from that faith that recognize that faith. It doesn't make any sense to me how they wouldn't have at least encountered it in their lives.
And I mean, go on YouTube. YouTube talks about everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, She could learn the basics.
So then her friend is like, well, you know what? I can help you because my son's teacher just happens to be Jewish. And so,
oh my God.
Like, oh my God.
Pull them out of class.
So
she didn't pull her child from the school.
Santa. Sorry, what?
So,
I said she didn't pull her child from the school?
Right.
Oh, so yes. Secret Santa is ruined.
So it's basically like,
okay, go ahead.
Since I know a Jewish person, I'm going to introduce you and he can help you, you know? Also, which is like, to me, it reminded me, like, I know a black person.
Also, they don't show like the scene where she asked him to help out in the movie, but imagine if this were real life and you're that guy and one of your students' moms comes to you and says, hey, I've got this friend that needs to learn about your religion. You want to hang out and get coffee? Like,
right.
How does that come up?
He'd be like, right. Excuse me?
Right.
Are you out of your mind?
Right. No, it totally almost reminds me of like Jason, have you ever had these friends, like straight friends who they're like, well, I know a gay guy.
Oh, yeah.
And since he's gay and you're gay, I'm going to set you two up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Because you're gay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. So then, her dad calls, right? And she's still just so flummoxed about the whole thing. She has to tell her dad that, you know, oh my God, Dad. I'm going to a Hanukkah party. What do I do?
I believe she refers to as meeting with a Hanukkah expert.
Right.
Oh yeah. I know she doesn't blink very much in this movie.
No.
I think she might be doing that Michael Caine thing.
It's caffeine. Yeah.
It's that Michael Caine thing where you don't blink, you know?
Because
there's so much coffee, you don't blink.
Because at this point of the movie, Kurt, she's had 5 cups of coffee in one day. And, P.S., she brings her own cup that's a double cup. So she basically, at this point,
has
10 cups of coffee. Because she insists that they put it in her special cup.
This is a cautionary tale.
Right. Seriously. So then, we find out that both of her parents are alive. Mm-hmm. So she's working on her project, you know. She's very stressed because not only does she have to come up with a toy presentation, she has to learn about the history of Judaism in 8 days, which, ba-dum, boom, there's 8 days of Hanukkah as well.
Did you notice when she walked in her door, she had a personal assistant, you know, like how people have their Alexa, which I won't say, so as to not ignite it, or Siri or Google, any of those. Hers was called Rudolph.
Yes.
That was her wake word
for her
digital assistant, Rudolph. And then she said, and see if you see why I found this weird, Rudolph, play Holiday Playlist 43.
Yeah.
Why do you think I find that's weird?
Why?
Because
why? I don't know.
They have made a huge deal out of how this woman is a Christmas freak, a Christmas expert, yet it's called generically Holiday Playlist.
Right. And you're
then,
right.
And then she's got
right.
43 of them.
You're right.
She's got 43 holiday instead of Christmas.
Right.
It'd be Christmas.
Right.
Okay. Do you think she's supposed to be brain damaged or something? Like it's they were kind of experimenting. That just hit me. They're kind of experimenting with like a brain damaged character.
Isn't that right?
I'm gonna feel bad for laughing. Well, anyway, right. We just got to keep plowing ahead.
So then this next part.
No offense
though,
to the brain damaged.
This next part though, I don't know if this makes me a bad person or not. But this next part.
Well, I just said this woman's brain damaged.
I saw nothing wrong with this. Her boyfriend comes over. Like, she's working. Her boyfriend comes over. He brings her a burger, right? Mm-hmm. And another cup of coffee. And
that seemed like a cute move.
Yeah.
And so then we find out, like, and he's being really nice to her, and he brings her burger and stuff, but then we find out that the reason why he came over was because he wanted to watch TV, and his cable was out, so he went to her house. I see nothing wrong with that.
This is
what I found revolutionary.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. You want to explain it first, Jason?
Well, I was going to say the reason why it's problematic, beyond the fact that it's just kind of rude, like you make it seem like you're doing something nice, but really it's so you can watch TV. He had already told her he wasn't available to come over that night. So
right.
You already know that he is – the reason he wasn't coming over isn't because he had to do work. It's because he wanted to like sit home and watch the game even though they had dinner plans.
Right.
And now because he can't watch the game, suddenly he's available.
Right. Well,
see, this could be revolutionary, I think, because this could be the first gay character that we've seen. Because they're her boyfriend. He's coming over, and they're not bumping uglies. That's a problem.
To me.
He wants to watch the game, and he's not, like, getting on with her. So either he's gay, because I actually thought – I was thinking about this for a few days later. He's gay and really high, like really high on the – gay scale. There's no hetero in him.
Oh, like super far.
Is that
one
offensive?
Direction.
Then I was thinking. I was wondering if that was offensive. I'm trying to figure out how to explain that.
Well, I mean, you could just say that he's leans very heavily in one direction on the Kinsey scale.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's not offensive.
He leans very. Oh, good, good. That, or he has no sex drive, or I'm not laughing at people that no sex drive, but he has no sex drive, or he just doesn't. He's not interested in her, and she's attractive enough.
Because they never touched each other. Well, but you know what, though? If you had to deal – yes, she's attractive. But if you had to deal with that hyper coffee-filled – no. No.
Yeah, you would, on that level you would.
Maybe
yeah.
He was constantly on the rowing machine as like a way to like exert energy because he wasn't getting any from her.
Right.
Maybe. Maybe she's not into it, but all right.
Yeah. Oh,
that's frustrating.
So the next day, she's back at the coffee house, the coffee shop, again, and she's being an asshole with her coffee order, and like, cause she's like, I want pumpkin spice latte, but it's got to be this certain temperature with no whipped cream, and da 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 da. And so the poor barista is like looking like just very confused. And the guy behind her, like, actually, like, throws shade at her and calls her out on it.
Yeah.
Because he's like, your order's very complicated, and you know what? You're being inconsiderate because maybe some of us are running late and you're holding us up. And she didn't like that. But he was not wrong.
Have you ever called anyone out in line for being an a-hole?
Yes. But
that's brave.
Not for something like that. No, I've called people out for like being an a-hole and being mean to like the person behind the counter.
Oh, but I've witnessed this in that museum. Les really let this woman have it.
Oh yeah.
Well, she deserved it. But no, like put it this way, like
you're an idiot and your art sucks.
And it does. And I stand
remember
by that.
That.
But like I remember once I was like at a diner and like this woman was just being like totally mean like to this waitress and just being like a bitch.
Right.
And like I totally called her out on it, and then when the woman left, the waitress is like, "Oh my god, thank you so much," because I couldn't say anything.
Yeah, yeah. I had one where I was standing in line at they were trying to do this like high-end donut place near us here in West Hollywood, where it was like the kind where they make some on sandwiches, the savory and sweet. So it was like they had just opened, and I'm in line, and I'm kind of like ready to order, and there's a woman behind me. She's kind of like creeping really close into my personal space to like look at the counter, and I'm like, okay, that's not a big deal. But then she's like trying to get the counter person's attention to ask questions. And she's like, just a quick thing, even though she's behind me in line. She's like, just a quick thing. And she's like, asked one thing and answered. And then she starts to ask another. And her boyfriend or husband or whoever is like, you know, honey, like, you know, just wait. You'll wait your turn. And and she's like, what? It's, they don't mind. And I said, yeah, they do. It's rude.
Nice.
Meeting me, it was being rude to me. Like, I like, you'll be able to ask all your questions as soon as I put my order in. Okay. Off my set legs.
Oh. So
you
she,
cut
so
out
then
there,
she's
Les.
Sitting, and then the guy. Pardon?
Right after we finished the story of me and the donut shop, you cut out there.
Oh, okay. So then she gets her.
Wait. You cut out once again. Same thing. Go again.
How am I now?
Yeah, now you're fine. It wasn't your microphone. It was just like the whole connection just froze.
Oh. Anyway, so then she's sitting down. The guy brings her a muffin. And the guy, he called it an apology muffin, right? Mm-hmm. And so, And I wrote, he doesn't need to apologize to her because she's an ass. And so so we find out. So then she wants him to apologize too. He wants her to apologize.
He thinks she should apologize.
Yeah, he thinks she should apologize. And he's right.
Right.
And so they're getting into it. And then her friend shows up. And the guy turned out to be her son's teacher, Mr. Silver, Jonathan Silver.
Mm.
His girlfriend, who is not Jewish, her family is flying in for Christmas, and they love Christmas. So he needs a Christmas expert. So they agree that, which, and I found that dumb too.
That's even because, dumber, frankly.
Yeah. The stuff that he didn't know. The stuff that he didn't know, I'm like, come on, dude. Come on.
This, like, the Hanukkah Holy. Stuff. Okay, I can maybe believe that you didn't know what a menorah is, but some of the Christmas right. stuff, which is in pop culture across the board, in every corner right. of the world, if you don't celebrate Christmas, you know what Christmas is. You know it involves a tree, you know?
And especially some of the and especially like some of the things like since I do have Jewish relatives, some of the things that he claimed that he didn't know, I'm like, okay, that's kind of insulting, actually. You know, like, really, some of those things I'm like, that's really insulting.
Insulting to whom?
Like, for example, and I'm jumping ahead, but she had a list of things that he needed to know about. A snowball fight? So just because he's Jewish, he doesn't know about snow?
Well, yeah, the Jewish people in Chicago. It doesn't snow in Chicago.
No, they don't.
Right.
It doesn't snow in Jewish land.
Right. So, yeah. He's,
well, all
so,
those
yeah,
burning candles on the menorah melt it.
Right. So, yeah, that was one of the things that she put that she had to teach him. A snowball fight. And I'm like,
but
come on.
We don't have snowball fights where we come from. We don't have that. What is this Frosty, this snowman? I don't know what this is.
This movie was so dumb.
Okay. So then, all right.
This movie is really stupid. Who is this dumb blonde?
What's the word that's a non-Jewish woman?
Shiksa. Right?
A six.
Who is this dumb six?
A shiksa.
Shiksa, that's it, yeah.
Who is this shiksa?
See, we're learning.
Who is Tigger?
Who is this dumb shiksa? Who is Tigger? It's not Tigger, it's Tiger. Why can't you, how many times you've done this report? This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, okay, so get this. Speaking of dumb, okay, so he gets a call from his girlfriend. And she wants him to buy a fruitcake. And he doesn't know what a fruitcake is. All right?
Well, I think he does. He's seen it in movies. Or he's seen it right. in TV shows.
Okay, yeah. And then this, and so this next line, I almost lost my shit. It was so dumb. So then she asks, is chicken soup a Hanukkah thing? Come on.
I didn't even understand that line, honestly.
Well, no. because it's like chicken, like in the Jewish community, the stereotype is like chicken soup, you know, chicken soup and matzo ball soup. They do have them, but it is a stereotype.
Yeah. I didn't know that chicken soup was a stereotype. Matzo I've heard of.
Oh, yeah.
But in terms of matzo, chicken soup being specifically Jewish, I've never heard that before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Matzo ball soup is chicken soup. There's chicken in it.
Oh, okay. Soup. I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. All right.
This is where Hanukkah school would have come in handy.
Yeah. This is where we learn things. What are the jelly donuts? Because they're not really jelly donuts, right? There's something else?
They said the name of it, and it's a Jewish pastry, basically.
Right. But then they did. And then people
listening to this podcast saying, oh, God, this.
Yes.
Don't you know? We're sorry.
But one thing I do know about is, like, they were talking about latkes. I love
latkes too. Yeah,
me too.
With applesauce and sour cream.
Yeah, I do. I've had latkes.
So, yeah. So they decide to help each other. And then, yeah, we find out that her party's on Christmas Eve, which turns out to be the last day of Hanukkah. Ha, 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 ha. So,
and she's oblivious to the concept of Hanukkah being 8 nights. She didn't know that.
It's like, come on, even if you knew nothing, Adam Sandler had a cartoon called 8 Crazy Nights.
Well, the premise of this movie, by weird design, means that our main character, the heroine of the movie, is stupid. Legitimately dumb. She works for a toy company who would probably sell some toys to parents of Jewish children,
right,
and therefore is an actual important market for them. She doesn't know about Hanukkah, like really basic things. She's a moron
that is
by
dumb.
Design.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And like I said, if it was like in a small town, if it was in a small town, it still wouldn't be right, but I would actually understand it. But Chicago.
No, but that's a good point about the toy. You work for a toy company and you don't know about Hanukkah. That is pretty bad.
Right.
Yeah. There's gifts on 8 nights, meaning 8 chances to buy products from your company.
Right.
We don't know the people who wrote this movie, do we?
We don't, which is why I'm going all in on that.
We don't.
Okay, good. Because
Right.
I don't remember which movie it was, but there was one that we like tore into in the past, and then it's like, oh, I know one of the producers.
Well, I'm sure that movie made a profit in advertising.
Oh, okay. Everybody's happy. So then they're at the store called Little Mitzvahs, right? And then they walk in and there's this lady who's wearing a fabulous caftan, and she actually had cool hair because it was like gray but with black tips. It was actually kind of cool, and she had chunky jewelry, of course. And so her name is Tova, and he calls her Safta. And we find out that Safta actually means grandmother. So Tova's his grandma. And like,
do we know the woman from anything? She seemed familiar.
Yeah,
she seemed like a type.
Yeah.
She's definitely like if you were doing a production of the touring company of MAME, she would play the main character.
Right. Totally.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Or she could be like. Yeah, in her younger years, she could have been Yentl or...
Yeah, or what's the mom in Fiddler on the Roof.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Tradition. So...
She reminds me of Olympia Dukakis, but Olympia Dukakis is not Jewish.
Kind of, yes. She actually, like,
I don't think she,
like, she just had a presence to her.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think Olivia Dukakis is Jewish. We have to look that
no,
up.
No, she's not. Sure. She's Greek.
Okay, she's not. I'm not going to look. She's Greek, yeah, but I don't know. Maybe her father was Greek and her mother was Jewish.
Well, but then there are Jewish people of various shapes, sizes, colors.
Whoopi Goldberg is
That's
Jewish.
Right. Whoopi Goldberg
is
Jewish?
Oh, because, yeah, listeners, for those of you who don't know, I'm black. So that's why, you know, my niece is like, you know, a biracial rabbi. anyway.
Wikipedia doesn't tell me if Olympia Dukakis is Jewish. They don't lead with that.
Right.
We won't worry about it.
So then anyway, so then we...
She was in Death Wish?
Okay, who, this lady?
Okay, go ahead.
Or Olympia Dukakis.
Olympia Dukakis. Olympia Dukakis was in Death Wish. She was the cop at the precinct.
Who?
In 1974. Really? It says uncredited. She was a cop at the precinct.
Well, that's why we probably didn't recognize her because she probably had black hair.
This is the takeaway.
Like, right.
This show has gone off the rails today.
Like, her hair was probably darker back then.
She was the personnel director and Working Girl.
I knew
really?
That.
Really?
That's cool.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, in 1988. So it was a year after Moonstruck.
Because remember, she's been in our lives as a woman of a certain age. So we forget
right.
that she's probably been around forever.
Yeah.
You know. Yes. Oh, so then anyway, so then they go to lunch and they're having latkes, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never get too many latkes. And then we find out that her boyfriend hates the holidays, right? And then
he just might not like her. That might be what's going on.
And then we find out that Jonathan, Mr. Silver, is a teacher, but he was actually going to be an archaeologist. But then, they both at the same time say, like Indiana Jones. But then we find out, like, you know, as a lot of young people, student loans reared their ugly head. So he needed to get a job just to, like, start paying off a student loan.
By the way, one detail we didn't point out in the scene with Tova is that... in order for Christy to have this nice little talk with Tova without him there, he's like, hey, I need to tell you about how he's going to teach Christy. He needs to buy a menorah. And she says, you know where they are. Which I just thought it seemed funny before we knew that she was the grandmother.
Right.
It was like, well, like, what? How often is he shopping for menorahs? Like,
right.
You know where they are. Using the same one every
year.
Well,
it's a small store.
Yeah.
You know where they are.
So then, yeah. So then he talks about his girlfriend Heather.
Yeah.
Then we.
I have. Okay, go ahead. Because
no,
I have
go ahead.
Strong opinions. I have strong opinions about this. Yeah. So Heather walks in, right?
Right.
She walks in. She looks similar to the main character. Let's start with that. Now,
right.
I tell you, in the real world, this Heather ain't going to be happy when she walks in and sees her boyfriend sitting with this other lady.
Yeah, I thought that Heather and Chrissy's boyfriend, Peter, were a little too comfortable with their partners hanging out with an attractive person of the opposite sex.
No,
yes.
All I'm saying is I've never had a girlfriend who in my life who would have been cool with that. If they showed up and saw me spending all this time with that woman, that wouldn't go over well.
Right, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. So then they're talking, and then Heather gets a call, and we find out that Heather doesn't know that he's getting Christmas lessons. Like, she has no idea that
Christy
he doesn't know anything about
it.
Christmas.
When she sat down, Christy almost spilled it, that's what was
right.
Happening.
And then, so then this is the part I wrote, like, a rant, because she had her list of lessons, and when it had snowball fight, I totally wrote a rant on, come on, Jewish people know what snow is. So then they start their lessons, and she takes them to this place called Tinseltown. And then she's telling him about how her family has this tradition, and they call it pre-Christmas Eve Eve. And they do their celebration on December 23rd. And now, what did you guys get her explanation for it? Like, she gave some explanation for it, right?
There was something... Wasn't it like one of the parents wasn't able to be home or something like that?
No, I think we're confusing somebody's travel plans from another movie we saw. Because I don't remember there being an explanation as to why it was.
Okay. But then, okay, so then this is another part, though, that is kind of insulting, right? Well, not insulting, but... So then she starts teaching him about Secret Santa. Now, hello. If you've ever worked in an office... Or, you know, especially he works in a school, or everybody does Secret Santa. Yeah.
Well, he seemed even oblivious to what this Christmas mart that they were walking around was. Like, she's like,
right.
He was like, oh my God, I can't believe this place exists. It's like, even if you're not celebrating Christmas, you probably walked by one of those things. They're in every major city.
Right.
There's always like, some sort of little Christmas village that pops up to let you buy stuff you don't need.
And then
they're in the middle of the sidewalk in New York. You're walking down the street. These things are like in the middle of the sidewalk. Yeah. You can't avoid them.
Yeah.
Right. And I, you know, and it wasn't like he was Orthodox either.
Right.
You know, like if he was Orthodox.
Even then you would know it exists. You would know.
Right.
So stupid, this movie.
Oh, so then this next part, Kurt. So then they go to buy this fruitcake, and I wrote the fruitcake woman looked a lot like our friend Natalie. You know Natalie.
Okay.
Natalie Frugia. Canadian Natalie.
Right, yes. Yes.
She looked a lot like Natalie.
Okay. I'll take another look at that. She may have.
She really did. So then at the end of the day, Christy's at home. She's making vodkas.
Before that, before they part, he asks Christy, Jonathan asks Christy, if she lit the menorah last night. She says she didn't know what to do. It's a fucking candle.
You light it.
Okay. Moving on.
Oh, so then.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
So then she's at home. She's making latkes, which I do love latkes, especially like hot out of the pan.
See,
what?
Libertarians watch this movie, and they're no longer libertarians because they watch her, and they're like, look, we can't self-govern. That she needs help. People change their political beliefs. People change their political beliefs from watching this. The libertarians become Republicans. No. What do they become? Yeah,
No, they do become Republicans.
They become something else. They're Republicans or Democrats?
They become Republicans.
They want government control after seeing this movie.
I think in either case, they would become a Republican or a Democrat because they both want government, just different versions of it.
Yeah. They could be either one. Yeah. That's good. They have options.
So her boyfriend comes over, right? and she asks him if he wants to try latkes, and he's like, ew, no. Which is like, you're lost. Because it's basically, dude, it's like eating just french fries, basically.
Well, good job.
So then he orders Chinese food.
He was really against it, too. It's like,
right?
Really, dude. It wasn't that scary to look at. It looked like fried food.
Right. So then they're eating Chinese food, and I wrote, her chopsticks were too long when they were eating Chinese food. And then he breaks the news, I can't come to Christmas Eve Eve. It's not my thing.
Because it's
now,
dumb.
Having been in a former relationship where, let's just say, I wasn't too fond of my in-laws, this I don't blame him for. Because if I could have gotten out of not going, I would have. So that I don't blame him for. So then she's Skyping with Jonathan. And so he's giving her menorah coaching. And then
before that, her boyfriend suggests to her that she should make stockbroker action figures.
Yes.
That's right, for her presentation. Yeah,
he's bitching, which sounded really lame. Yes. Bad toy ideas to her.
Which sounded really lame.
That's great.
You know, really lame, because stockbrokers are so exciting. So get this. So then she's getting her menorah lessons, and then Jonathan is like, and look what I did. And he made a gingerbread house. And I wrote, I bet that's not made out of graham crackers.
I know.
As a callback, the callback to the movie we talked about a few weeks ago.
Yes.
I remember, yeah. They were too
gingerbread
poor.
House
they
classes.
Couldn't afford gingerbread.
Yeah.
Right.
These people couldn't afford gingerbread, so they got graham crackers.
Right. Okay, so then they go back to Tinseltown, and she's, like, actually selling fruitcake. Like, did they ever explain that, like, how she's selling the fruitcake now?
No, she wasn't selling it.
Yeah, they did. No, it was, like, for some kind of fundraiser.
No.
He was doing
it. Selling it. He was selling it.
Oh.
He was selling it,
yeah, for his class fundraiser.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think she... She was helping.
Well,
she started helping.
Okay. That scene started where she woke up in bed next to her giant advent calendar again, and she kind of sees a text from him, or we assume it's from him, because she looks at her phone and goes, that's weird. And she goes, and she's like, what are you doing here? Why are you inviting me over for this? And why are you selling the fruitcake?
So then another part of her Christmas lessons, she asks him, do you know how to wrap gifts properly?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've received gifts from Jewish people before, and yes, they know how to wrap gifts.
Yeah. Have you heard of a birthday?
Yeah, they just
literally
have a
everyone
birthday.
Has one of those.
Believe me, you bring gifts to Jewish weddings. Believe you,
right?
Me.
It's like
that stuff is wrapped.
It's like, why do you think that? He doesn't know how to wrap gifts because he's Jewish.
I don't know this about wrapping paper. What? I just get the box and give it to you. What's this weird paper?
I was like, are you guys kidding me? Oi. Yeah, oi, no, exactly.
Oi.
Oi.
Oi
vey.
So then they're wrapping gifts, and then who was it that said listening is the perfect gift? One of them said it.
Well, it's the cheapest.
And then we find out that he likes kids, but Heather doesn't. So he's not gonna. He would. Sorry.
Oh no! What did you say? He wants kids.
Yeah, but Heather does not.
Okay. Right.
And so then they both reach for something at the same time, and I wrote, they make goo-goo eyes at each other.
She complimented his eyes earlier, too.
Okay.
Oh, she did, yeah.
Now, okay, so did you think he was cute, Jason?
I thought he was kind of cute. Like, honestly, if in real life, I would totally go for him. I thought he was cute in that sense, but in terms of, like, movie, they should be super hot, and I'm, like, turned on by him, I was like, eh, not really.
Right. Yeah, like, and I agree. Like, in real life, I would totally be like, yeah.
Like, honestly, but, I'd probably have sex with her boyfriend before I would Jonathan with Peter.
Oh, see,
really?
I did not find Peter attractive at all.
I would have sex with him, attractive. But I would then find out the sex was bad.
Oh, okay. Oh, because he looks like, he looks like the sex would have been horrible.
You seem to know that now.
Yeah.
No, he looks like the sex would have been horrible. And like 2 seconds.
What indicates that?
What's that, Kurt?
But the rowing machine?
No.
No, what indicates that?
That he would be
his attitude.
Just his manner.
Like, usually when a guy is that douchey and is oblivious of the fact that they're douchey, that just means that they're lazy in bed and they just kind of lay there. Or
yeah,
so I've heard.
Exactly.
I'm a virgin.
Okay.
I wouldn't know.
Exactly. I agree.
What did you say at the end there?
I said I'm a virgin. I wouldn't know.
Oh, that's what I thought you said. Okay. That's a revelation. That's the takeaway. That it's that and Olympia Dukakis was in Death Wish.
Yes.
Right.
Oh. This is quite a show. This is a real holiday gift to our audience.
Right.
It's not wrapped.
So then she gets a phone call. Christy gets a phone call from her friend, and her friend is being a good friend because her friend's like, listen, we need to talk because Toys and Tricks is up to something. And I'm going to find out. I'm going to spy and kinky. Find out what it is.
That's the competitor.
So she shows up at her office, right? Because her friend was like, you need to get to the office. And her bosses are there. And her bosses are like, do you have an idea yet? And she's like, yes, a stockbroker action figure. And the bosses looked at her like, okay, are you really? Are you sure? But they kind of went along with it anyway, but you could tell they weren't happy about it. Mm-hmm. Well, wait, no, I take that back. No, the bosses did. Wait. They gave her a weird look, but then they did like it.
Didn't she, the pitch that the boyfriend gave her was stockbroker action figures, but didn't she pitch congressmen and congresswomen?
Oh, that's right, congressional. Yeah, you're right.
Oh.
Which was even dumber.
A congressperson. So you're not even going to do a senator. You're going to have a person in the a Congress action figure?
Are there 480? How many? Collect all 485 figures.
Right.
Oh, God.
And, well, there is the Ruth Bader Ginsburg action figure.
Yeah, there's one. And it's like, well, it's tongue-in-cheek, obviously.
Right.
Congress.
But would you buy all nine of the justices?
No. Oh, okay, so then she actually had she had a proposal, and she had it all drawn out, right? So this next part, so her boss's assistant, who was like, who would always give her the stink eye, she had her proposal out, right? And he did something that I actually had respect for. He went to the other side of the room, he took out his cell phone, and then he took a picture of the proposal from across the room.
I didn't catch that's what was going on in that moment until you said it makes sense now.
And I thought that was cool, and that's something that I would do.
You would steal ideas like that.
Well, it was sneaky, because he was like across the room, and he literally just took out his phone and went, chink. I was like, okay, I could buy that. I could get behind that.
I like that just because it added some conflict. Like, okay, yes. Where's that going to go? So that's why I like that.
Okay, now this next part, did I miss something? Because they're at the Christmas tree farm, and she's talking to Jonathan, and she's like, what if you had a friend that won't go for a job that's right for them? Was she talking about herself?
No, she's talking about her friend, yeah, Samantha.
The girl whose son's teacher Jonathan is.
Okay, but that was like a brief... Yeah,
that woman.
That was like a brief storyline. They basically did that and then dropped it.
No, they come back to it.
Well, she... Oh, yeah.
They totally come back to it.
Yeah, there's a payoff there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And we'll one that will send me on another rant, but we'll get to that
soon. Okay.
Okay,
and then he's like, your friend's doing that because if you don't try, you don't fail, which is true. And then, they're looking for the perfect tree, and they find a good tree, and they're setting up the Christmas tree, and then as they're setting up the Christmas tree, she lights the menorah.
Well, they're setting up the tree with her backup decorations.
Right.
Yeah. She got backup decorations.
Right. But then, this next part, I would have had an issue with. Because she's like, okay, so my boyfriend Peter's coming over, right? And then right before he comes over, she's like, I need to go and freshen up a bit. Right. I would have had a problem if I would have shown up and I saw my girlfriend coming out of the bathroom from upstairs, from like where the bedrooms are.
Yeah.
I would have a little problem with that.
These people should have had problems a long time ago, though.
Yeah.
But like, these people should have had problems a long time ago, though, I think.
And I thought this is where the movie missed a beat, because they could have easily had him be like, maybe not cause a scene, but have him be like, okay, what's, like, in his head, or give a look like, what's going on here?
No, they're consistently oblivious.
Yes. And then I wrote, she's saying that she's freshening up, which means she went to pee.
Before he got there. She had all that coffee. She's taking a dump.
Right. Well, oh, yeah. That's true.
Oh, that helps with five. That?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, of course, Kurt.
It's a totally diuretic.
Does. You'd think I'd know that.
And yeah, especially,
diuretic, but I thought that means it makes me pee too much.
But especially since she was having 10 cups of coffee a day.
Makes you go boom, boom.
Like, she was having over 5 cups of coffee a day.
Well, I figured I'm gonna poo regardless whether I have coffee. It's not like if I stop drinking coffee, I'm gonna stop pooing.
Oh no, I'm sure she's had so much coffee, she probably has washboard abs at this point.
I was making this about me. Oh man.
So then, she's in the bathroom peeing and pooping.
A health tip.
While she's in the bathroom,
thank you for sharing that.
Right now, everybody, people on 5 platforms know about this. So while she's in the bathroom getting the job done, Peter is talking to Jonathan, right? And Peter is telling Jonathan. Peter is telling Jonathan how he actually set her up with an interview at a bank.
But Christy doesn't know about this.
Right, she didn't know about it. It's going to be a surprise. So,
and Jonathan's like, does she want to work at a bank? And the boyfriend basically says, like, no, this would be good for her. She'll get, like, 20% more money. Yeah, but does she want to do that?
Right. So then before they leave, so then Peter leaves, like Peter heads out to the car, and before she heads out to the car, Jonathan is like, listen, I need to just warn you about this, but he didn't really do it in the right way. Like, he wasn't,
right.
He didn't convey what he was going to say good enough.
Yeah, he kind of blurted it out of anger at the way Peter handled it versus, hey, you like this may be none of my business, but I thought you should know.
Right. And then she's like, and then because he's like, don't settle. And she's like, wait a minute. Hello, pot, you know, pot kettle, you're black. Mm-hmm. Because she's like, you gave up having kids, so I don't know why you're talking to me, because you've got issues of your own.
That's right.
And so then
she stepped up.
Right. So then she gets pissed.
And it was at this point that I started feeling like, oh, this movie's a little more believable now, because they're both noted to each other's sort of the cracks in each other's relationships, which are very evident to everyone.
Right.
And pointing them out. I was like, oh, okay, I could like this movie now.
Right. So then they're at dinner. So then Peter and Christy are at dinner, and of course he wants to stick to his keto diet.
A keto diet, yeah.
And so then they're having. So then he's like, "I got you an interview at a bank," and then he did something that infuriated me. Because then he's talking about the bank, and then he wanted more champagne, and he snapped his fingers at the waiter. Mm-hmm. And I was infuriated. Because I'm like, really?
He also said that whoever was doing the hiring would have to run the final decision by him or something like that, because he's a stockbroker, so he's got the bank connection. So he's basically saying, like, I control your career, and you'll be making good money. Not as good as I am, but good money.
So then it's almost time for her presentation, right? And so then she's in the kitchen, she's making latkes, and they do look good.
Yeah, they looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then she lights her menorah, and she's getting pretty good at lighting the menorah.
Although he's still walking her through it over the phone.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then she calls her.
I didn't know how to do it. You gotta take the middle candle, and you do. I didn't know all that.
Oh yeah. So then she calls her dad, and she's talking to her dad, and her dad's like, you know, she's telling her dad what's going on, her issues, and her dad's comeback was, "We have faith in you. Now go get yourself some coffee."
Oh, you did say that, yeah. I liked his sweater.
Who, the dad?
I don't know. I wrote that down. Yeah, he had a cool sweater on.
So then she's at the coffee house, terrorizing the poor barista again.
Mm-hmm.
And then she bumps into Jonathan's girlfriend, Heather. Mm-hmm. And so then Heather, they're talking, and Heather's saying how she's a little worried because she's not sure if her dad's going to like him. And then Christy says, "Well, how can you not like Jonathan? Everybody likes Jonathan. He's a great guy. How can you not like him?" Is this where she apologizes to the barista?
Yeah.
For being annoying?
And the barista doesn't accept the apology.
No, not here.
No.
Oh.
Well, no. Here, it's I have here. She wants her coffee. It's 120 degrees. I don't know how you achieve that. I guess you put a thermometer right in the coffee. Yeah. But the barista says that she should get what she wants.
Yeah, because she apologizes to the barista for being like annoying.
Oh, that was this scene? Okay.
Yeah, I think. And then I think the barista's that's where that
like,
happens.
Oh
yeah.
No, I'm fine. I was new. You should get. You should ask for exactly what you want.
Get exactly what you want.
Which the barista is a better person than I am. Poor thing. So then she goes to see his grandmother. And she basically tells the grandmother, you know, "I need an apology gift." And the grandmother basically knew, like, had an idea that she was talking about Jonathan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're at Jonathan's house. He opens the door. Christy's there. They both apologize at the same time.
Sorry.
And so she gives him his gift, which is a Star of David to go at the top of the Christmas tree.
Hmm.
And
he had one just like that when he was a kid.
Yeah. And so the Christmas tree is actually done, and she's actually very impressed with it.
And he gives her a Jackie Mason action figure to add to the Banger scene.
But is there room with all of those Congress people that are surrounding?
No, that's true. Banger. The Congress people are also at the they've also followed the North Star.
But okay, so then we find out that Heather dumped Jonathan.
Damn.
And she.
Oh yeah, we last saw Heather. Heather was sort of out of sorts.
Right. And Heather gave him this lame excuse that she was worried that her dad would love him too much.
That was her reason?
Yes.
Well, I think the reason is dad would love him too much, and she said, "And I'm not sure if I love him."
Right.
Or something like that. Or that's what she told him, yeah.
Right. So then he's kind of sad. Well, he seems sad, but not that sad.
Not for long.
Like, you think, because, yeah, he seemed kind of down, but he didn't seem, like, that torn up about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so then she invites him to come to Christmas Eve, since Peter wasn't coming.
Which I think is profoundly inappropriate, but okay.
Now, this is another thing. Okay, so she's like, "Well, so you're Jewish, so have you ever had eggnog? Come on." Everybody knows what eggnog is. Everybody.
Yeah. I avoid eggnog.
As a matter of fact...
Eggnog's like drinking cake batter.
As a matter of fact, the other night, I went to a holiday party at a Jewish person's house, and they had eggnog. Jeez.
You better take it easy with that eggnog.
This movie's like, it's like, you would think the guy was from Mars or something. Oh, and then, who was it that asked if there was a Hanukkah pie? Was it her parents?
I think it might have been the mom.
Well, they sit with the parents. They sit with her parents. And they have a whole conversation.
Oh no! I think it was the dad.
Is there a Hanukkah pie? And then it's like, how stupid are you? You're stupid too.
It's also a dumb question because then it's revealed that her parents have traveled and they knew a lot of these like traditions.
Right.
So then, why didn't you share this information with your stupid daughter?
They had been to Israel.
Yeah.
They had been to Israel.
Yeah, they talk about Israel.
But Christy doesn't know what a fucking menorah is. I'm angry.
I have that. I wrote that the parents talk about Israel, not Israel Horowitz, because that would be a very inappropriate discussion. All right. So for the three people who know what that is. It is very strange. Yeah.
So at this point, I'm very infuriated with this movie at this point. And then the obligatory carolers show up.
Oh, yeah.
And so then they're singing, and then he goes whispers something, and then they sing, "Oh Hanukkah, Oh Hanukkah."
Christy has never heard of a menorah, but this whole group of complete strangers that are clearly so into Christmas, they want to go door to door to sing about it. They know a Hanukkah song.
And then did you notice?
Let me say it was the same thing.
So then they're singing, and they're the two little kids. I guess those were her nieces and nephews. And I wrote, the little kids are dancing like assholes.
Because
the little kids.
Bless, that's kind of.
They were dancing like assholes.
Jesus.
They were.
When those kids appeared on screen, I was like, who the hell are these kids? Because there was no other family at that dinner. It was Christy, her parents, and Jonathan. There was no one else there. So who was that other family that was standing
who were those kids?
Right, and they're two little kids.
Yeah, who are they? That's weird. I didn't know who they were. They were little assholes, according to Wes. Oh my god!
These little asshole kids.
I noticed that the choir, the black woman, was reading the entire Hanukkah song. She didn't learn one word of this Hanukkah song.
I noticed that too.
She never heard this song in her whole. I've never heard it either.
I noticed.
But she wasn't even gonna try. Wasn't even gonna try to learn this thing.
Right. Okay. So Christy's getting ready for the party, right? And then she goes to Peter's house.
Wait, we skipped this thing.
Go ahead.
The scene at the office, with Christy and Samantha, where Christy tells Samantha, hey, you know how I had you pull these reports for such and such? I submitted that for this sales position that's opening up. So, I hope you're not mad at me for, putting you up for this, but you'd be perfect for it and it'd be such a good move. And we're supposed to be, like, happy for her that she did that for her friend, yet didn't she just get upset at Peter for doing the same exact fucking thing?
Yes. Yes.
This is layered.
Yes, she did. So, and then speaking of Peter, she's getting ready for the party, right? And Peter told her that he couldn't go. But then we find out, because he said he couldn't go because he had work stuff. But then we find out that he really couldn't go because he was going to a game.
Yeah.
And he's going to some game.
He doesn't
want to
hang out with his. So instead of hanging out with his girlfriend, spending any time with his girlfriend, he wants to hang out with like a bunch of guys, go see games.
Initially, he told her it was. He did say that it was a game, but it was a work-related thing because his boss wanted him to go. The boss had box seats. Then Christy comes over to find out that, oh, the boss isn't even going. So now he's just actively choosing to not join her.
Right. Okay. So she's pissed, right? So then she goes to Jonathan's house, and we find out that she just dumped Peter because she now knows what she wants, and it's okay to ask for exactly what you want, like what the barista told her. Mm-hmm. So then we see that that Jonathan actually had finished his Christmas tree because he was like, since he started it, he figured he might as well finish it at this point.
Yeah, you had said, I think you may have said earlier that he finished it here.
Yeah.
When she gave him the star, it wasn't done yet.
Oh, true. Sorry about that. Yeah, you're right. Then we find out he got her a present. And because she was looking at a book like earlier in the movie, which I forgot to mention.
At Tova's store.
She was looking at a book at Tova's store, and so he got her that book.
Right.
Wow.
And then she got him something too, right? Or did she?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
She had given him the star.
I remember these things.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So anyway, she's like, hey, well, now that I'm a single woman, why don't you come with me to my boss's party?
Woo! Rebound within the hour.
So he goes up and changes into suit. He changes into a suit. He looks really good. Mm-hmm. They stand under the mistletoe, and they get ready to kiss. But then she looks up and actually sees that it's not mistletoe, it's parsley.
Yeah, boy. Do we even have time?
Right. Right?
To discuss this.
So then they go to the party. And so they go to the party, and she gives the boss, the host, donuts. And he's like, oh, just like my softie used to make, right? And then we find out that she's an idiot because he's Jewish, but his wife is not, so they incorporated both Christmas and Hanukkah together, which is exactly what my sister does. So she didn't even need the lesson.
She didn't need them anyway. Who the hell would invite you over to a party at your house and expect you to know the ins and outs of their religion?
Right. Oh, so then we find out that
she wouldn't have met Jonathan.
That the assistant, that like the asshole assistant of her boss who took a picture of her proposal. We find out that he now got a job at Toys and Tricks. And he actually gave a proposal, right? But then the boss asks her to light the menorah. And she goes and she shows the room her menorah skills.
Yeah.
And so then the boss is like, listen, I'm not supposed to say this to you, but I hope your idea is better than Toys and Tricks, because their idea was a congressional action figure. And so then she realizes that asshole stole my idea.
She also realized it was a boring idea. Duh.
Right. Kind of like that movie Bring It On, when they're like, those white girls stole our cheers.
Exactly.
Right, and then
it's
a horrible idea. So then they're watching these kids play with a dreidel. And then Jonathan tells her, you know, I always hated playing with a dreidel, so I made up a game of my own. And the game, what was it called?
McCabe?
Like, he made up a game, and it was like Bible, like...
Oh, a Mac. It has something to do with a Maccabee. I don't know what a Maccabee is. That's the one Maccabee. Thing they should have explained
better in the
movie. One of
the tribes in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's a McCabe. Maccabee. Right.
So then he tells
some letters
her,
on this one.
And she's like, oh my God, Jonathan, you're the best. So Jonathan told her earlier in the movie when they were on their way that if she were to get, if she got into any trouble, he would sing. He would sing to kind of cover her ass.
Okay.
So then she's like, so then she has an idea. And she's like, Jonathan's going to sing for us. So as Jonathan is singing, she runs out to her car and gets her prototype and starts ripping the clothes off of her figure.
She's
doing
this outside in the cold in Chicago with no jacket, by the way. She's wearing a sleeveless gown.
So then she comes back.
It's cold.
And she tells the boss, I have an idea. Why don't we do a biblical theme toy line? We could have figures from the Bible. So is she going to have like a Delilah action figure too? Because remember Samson and Delilah, and Delilah was a slutty woman that shaved his head?
Yes.
Oh, there's all sorts of crazy stuff in the Bible. Yeah.
Right? So she's like, I want to have a biblical theme toy line. And the boss is like, oh my God.
It's dark.
That's fantastic. Yes. And not only are you going to get my account, then her other boss chimes in, you're getting a promotion.
I wonder if they'd have like a 100 action figures. Like this one beget that one, who beget this one, who beget that one, who beget this one, who beget that. Like, you know, like all the to have every one of those has got to be an action figure.
Like a Noah. Well, when I was a little kid, I had like a Noah action. I had like a Noah's Ark. So I had like
oh,
Noah
I have
and
one actually,
and like an Ark.
I have a Noah. I have one somewhere.
And it was like Noah. You had like all the animals too, like two of everything. Oh, so then. That. So she gets promotion, and then her and Jonathan realize they're standing under a mistletoe, and then they kiss, and then this movie did something that really infuriated me because it set itself up for a sequel.
Yes.
How presumptuous
sure
is
did.
This? Because then he's like, well, now that you know about Hanukkah, what about Passover?
Yeah, because the head of the toy company said that he wants these, like, to fast-track these so they could be out
by April.
Spring, yeah.
Yeah, by April.
Sequel time.
So we're probably going to get a Passover movie.
We sure will.
I will pass over that. Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Terrible pun.
We're going to be watching
and
it.
And of all the offensive adjacent things we probably said today, that's probably the one that'll get angry letters.
Right. Yes. This movie infuriated me.
Yeah, same.
I got four words for you. City council person action figures. It'll be in stores by next year. You
so
could go local.
Have...
You could have New Jersey Freeholders action figures.
So all I have just... to say, right? I do. I think I would get a Maxine Waters action figure.
Well, here in with Kurt's idea, the city council here in West Hollywood, where I live.
Oh God!
What? There's a lot of things that have gone on. So one of our city council members got sued for sexually harassing his male assistant who he had hired, or sexually, so something was it had something to do with inappropriate workplace. I don't know if he sexually harassed him because they did have an intimate relationship, as I understand it, before he was working there, but then he got fired. So ended up suing the city, cost the city $500,000, and this guy is still on the city council and was reelected. And so he gets in bitter fights with some of the other council members during council meetings. And one of the council members once called him out for being on Grindr during the city council meeting.
I remember that.
Oh, man. Wow.
I remember that. And I actually know.
So I would buy that action figure.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yes.
Comes with a little smartphone.
Right?
Yeah.
With like a tiny little Grindr thing, picture on it.
Yeah.
All I have to say is Hallmark is coming out with a Hanukkah movie as well.
Yes.
And I'm not losing faith. I'm not losing faith in humanity yet.
I have high hopes for this one because our friend Nina Weinman wrote it. We've had her on the show.
Yeah, we talked to her before.
She's written some Hallmark movies which are actually good. She, I believe she wrote she did cleanup on the one with Candace Cameron from last year that we liked.
Oh, the Shoes?
Which
the
was
Shoes
the
one?
Their highest rated movie last year.
The Shoe was the one with Gene Smart?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
Christian was in it as well.
And Christian Bruhn, who we interviewed on the show. He was in it.
And that movie's actually, I think, one of my favorite movies that we've watched. Out of all the movies we've watched, I think that's like one of my favorites.
So Nina wrote two movies this season. She wrote the Jewish one that we're going to be watching. She also wrote Christmas in Dollywood, which
which I did not get a chance to watch. I know that's been on.
I feel like we should watch that for maybe our next podcast, question mark?
Yes, because I love Dolly. I love her. Love her.
Same.
Love her.
Same.
I can't wait. Oh, no, we're watching that one.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah. But this movie, geez, yeah. And especially after watching this one, I need some Dolly in my life to
Dolly and Danica McKellar.
Yes. Winnie.
I have to tell you. Winnie, where's she?
She's in the Jewish in the Dolly movie.
Yeah.
You know, from the Wonder Years, right?
Yeah.
Winnie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just work with Fred Savage this week.
Oh,
was he directing?
He was directing something. He was directing a show called, I forget what it's called. Something on Netflix. He seems like a really cool guy.
I think he's kind of cute, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a very good director. He does a lot of TV stuff now.
I like that Netflix
it's called
show he had,
Dash
Friends
and
from
Lily.
College.
That's what it's called.
What's it called?
Okay, yeah. The new one he's doing, this is called Ash and Lily.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Cool.
So I worked on that. I kind of enjoyed this movie on some level because there was a little conflict that kept me interested. You know what? Like when the guy takes the picture of her work, it kind of kept me interested because there's so many of these movies that just kind of like lumber on and on. Mm-hmm. This actually inserted like a tiny bit of conflict in it.
Well, Lifetime allows a little bit of that in there, even in their holiday movies. Whereas Hallmark, there's never any stakes.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Well,
and I like the guy. I liked the male lead.
Jonathan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, this movie bugged the shit out of me.
Well, I said it was loaded. When I was watching it, I wrote to you guys. I said this movie is loaded. Because I watched it in real time.
Because it's just like, okay, yes, they're Jewish, but you're making way too big of a deal about this. And B, he's the guy who's... I think Snow knows no bounds.
What?
Well, because they were like... Okay, Jewish people know how to wrap gifts. Jewish people know what snow is. Jewish people know what eggnog is. You know?
Right.
Come on.
And non-Jews know what a menorah is.
Yes.
They've heard of latkes.
Yes.
Right.
They should know.
And especially, like I said, you live in Chicago, idiot.
And hey, Christy, you work at a toy company. You should probably know that there are gifts for kids celebrating Hanukkah.
Yes. Yes.
Man, oh man. It was dumb.
So yeah, I was done with it.
We all sound so defeated.
It was a lot, man. Like, this was this movie provided us with so much.
I said you both legit seem worn out.
Because I was like,
well, I'm spent.
Because just when I would think that it was dumb, they'd say something even dumber. Oh,
what a gift. I can't wait for the sequel. I'll be first in line.
Pass the Passover. So then what next?
If we're going to do it.
What next? Is she going to get a black friend and then they'll learn about Kwanzaa?
I wonder what they're going to they're going to have to do a movie about a bris.
Right? Oh, that's true. Because then, the next one, she'll have the baby. Like, she'll have a baby and then she'll be like, oh, we've got to do the bris. And then, then Tova will have something to say about it, of course. Yeah, I'm
Jewish. I have Jewish friends now.
Right?
No Catholic friends. I won't. No Catholic friends. I won't go that far. Woo!
Jeez. Anyway, guys. I gotta go. This talking about this movie made me hangry.
Hangry? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
All right. Before we go, Les, how can people find us and you?
Well, if you want to find me, you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett. Or if you want to join our group and send us a little message, you can find us at A Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. Also, and on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. And we are always open to suggestions. So please feel free to suggest movies to us, because I keep on saying one of the best movies that we've watched was a suggestion from a listener. The Pride and Prejudice Atlanta, which I really did like a lot. A listener turned us on to that. Also, we are on multiple platforms right now. We are on Podbean, iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes. So whatever platform you listen to us on, please give us a 5-star review. Get into the Christmas spirit and give us that Christmas gift of 5 stars. Jason, how can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason. Kurt.
If people are interested in Olympia Dukakis, she has a documentary called Olympia. It's won the Best Documentary Award at the Hunter Mountain Film Festival. And I still have not updated my social media, but you can still see my completed TV pilot at campusmartiustv.com.
Wow.
I renewed that.
And
let's just put a filter that made him Santa, and I think that's fitting for this episode.
And Kurt got a new computer.
Oh, I did. I have a MacBook Air. It's a couple years old, but it's quote unquote new, so it was like I got it at a reasonable price, and I will eventually update my social media. I may even have like a Reddit discussion if people wanted to like give me questions about episodes. I can provide answers. We could all do that sometimes. That'd be fun if people are interested.
Yes, and one of my New Year's resolutions is in 2020, I'm going to really get better and focus a lot more on our social media and get our social media up to snuff. Look, I'm an angel.
I took a picture of you as a reindeer.
Jewish. I don't know what an angel is.
Right. Seriously.
It was a song by Madonna, like an early song.
Yes.
From what was it? It was a movie with Matthew Modine.
It's not.
She did a couple songs for it.
It is not in Vision Quest. Same time, but not in Vision Quest.
Okay, that was Vision Quest. Okay.
Anyway, guys, I got some pasta waiting for me, so I gotta go. But I will talk to you next week. And next week we will be watching something from Hallmark. So until next week, bye.
Bye.
Bye.